بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We started the discussion with regards to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh and incidents in the life of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Inshallah, this week we'll discuss the life of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. The science, or rather in fiqh generally, we follow these four schools of thought. Generally we call them the Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, and the Shafi'i. So those that ascribe, or those that subscribe to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatul alayh, are known as the Hanafis. And the Malikis, those that follow Imam Malik rahmatul alayh. Imam Malik rahmatul alayh, his name was Abu Abdullah, but he was known as Imam Malik, meaning Malik ibn Anas. One is the Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahabi's name was Anas ibn Malik, meaning Anas, the son of Malik. That was the khadim and the attendant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here we are speaking about Malik ibn Anas, meaning Malik, the son of Anas. It's a different relationship. So therefore Malik was his name. His father's name was Anas. His laqab and title that was given to him was Imam Dar al-Hijrah, because he was an Imam that resided in Medina Munawwara. That's why he was known as Imam Dar al-Hijrah. Dar al-Hijrah refers to Medina Munawwara, meaning the city of Hijrat. And that was Medina Tayyibah, Medina Munawwara. So that was the title that was given to him, Imam Dar al-Hijrah. Imam Shafi rahmatul alayhi says that I met with Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik rahmatul alayhi. And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was born in 93 AH. He passed away 179 AH. So he lived for 85 years. 85 years was his age. That's how long he lived. He was very fair in complexion. He was very tall in complexion and full built. From a very young age, people say that we saw his mother always tying a turban on his head. From a very young age, his mother always tied a turban on his head. Now, Imam Malik rahmatul alayh, one of his asatiza, or his students, or rather his ustad, is known as Nafi'. So Imam Malik rahmatul alayh, his ustad is Nafi'. And Nafi' was the freed slave of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. So slavery is not what we think it would have been, or what it is, as what the West may be, or the enemies of Islam may portray it to be. Remember, the slavery that was in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the slaves of Islam were some of them great luminaries of their time. Example, Nafi', he is known as Mawla Ibn Umar, the freed slave of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Our Ustad said, for a person to clear this misconception or this notion where Islam had a grip over people and their slaves mistreated, etc., he says, simple. How do we dispel such a notion? He says, look at all the kafara. If a person, example, takes a qasam and an oath and a vow to do something, if he doesn't keep up to his word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of your options, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةً, free a slave. If you had to kill someone, what was the qisas in the blood? وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَيَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَأً. Obviously, if it was mistakenly, then you atone for your sin, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنًا, free a slave. If vihar takes place with the wife, there is long discussion with it, but how do you get out of this fault of yours? فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةً. So this option was always there. If you need to atone for any of your sins, anything wrong you did wrong in life, then how do you atone for it? That one of the ways of it was فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةً, to free a slave. So slavery was not what what people may think. One day Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is an incident and then we'll continue with the discussion. He heard one person, he was hitting his slave. Remember, he's talking about a slave that he owns. If I'm not too mistaken, it was Abu Masud al-Badri radiallahu anhu, a sahabi. So he was hitting his slave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something from behind. So this sahabi, he paid attention to the voice. He says, hey, listen, that's Nabi sallam talking to me. So I turned around, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lallahu aqdaru alayka minka ala hadha al-ghulam. Know very well, Allah is more authoritative over you than you are over the slave. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry for what I did. How do I make up? What's the remedy for my bad behavior? Nabi Sam said, free him. So he freed the slave. Nabi Sam said, had you not freed the slave, lala fahatka nar, lala masatka nar, then the fire of Jahannam would have burnt you. So many places there were where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us the freedom of slaves. So your Nafi, remember Nafi, the freed slave of Ibn Umar, he stayed 30 years in the service of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Ibn Umar, who was his ustad. So Ibn Umar was the sahabi. Nafi stayed in his khidmah for 30 long years. And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi stayed for many years in the company of Nafi, learning from him directly. That is why one person came to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. He told Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, I want to ask you about seeking knowledge. So he told him, Hasanun Jamilun, very good desire. You should seek, go out and learn knowledge. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi caught his attention for a moment, said, but hold on before you leave and go to seek your knowledge. I want you to be cautious of who you're spending your day and your night with. If it is with your ustad, falzamhu, stick to that one ustad, don't change madrasas. Just stick with that one ustad of yours. Don't move around. You stick with him, you hold on to him, onto his teachings. That is why, example, so we said Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, his ustad was Nafi. Nafi was the freed slave of Ibn Umar who learned from him. Now this, in muhaddisin terminologies or the scholars of hadith, it's known as silsilatu dhahab. Silsilatu dhahab is a golden chain of narrators that you cannot question them, impossible to lay a finger on them or to say anything. Each one of them impeccable to the highest degree of integrity, of honesty, of piety, of memory, of everything. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, just to explain his memory, one day he was traveling with his ustad Rabi'atul Rai. He was traveling with him. So they passed one muhaddis, his name was Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi. So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was with his ustad, so he humbled himself and he just sat, and his ustad told the muhaddis and the scholar of hadith, narrate a hadith. So the muhaddis started off the cuff narrating a hadith. He just narrated it. The second day, the ustad Rabi'atul Rai goes back with Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. He tells that same muhaddis, I want you to narrate more ahadith. So Imam Zuhri, the muhaddis, the scholar of hadith, says, hold on, before we do sabag, let's do some dur. Where are we going to go ahead? What ahadith we narrated yesterday? So the ustad said, you know what? Rather, Imam Zuhri, the ustad of hadith, he says, bring, anyone's got the notes of yesterday's ahadith? Who wrote it down? So one person says, I've got it written, but I have to get my scrolls and my pages. Rabi'atul Rai, the ustad of Imam Malik, said, hold on, I've got someone in this entire majlis that he'll narrate it min wa'an, letter for letter, without any mistake, from beginning to end, from number one till your last hadith. He says, what you mean? Imam Malik, bismillah. Imam Malik started. And he narrated the ahadith of that ustad in the order he narrated it yesterday without taking down notes. 40 ahadith, not 40 ayat of Quran. Sometimes the Hafiz al-Quran has to come for Ramadan. He's got 40 ayat to read. Maghrib time, not eating halim. He has little bit kajur, zamzam, why pareshana? He doesn't want his stomach to work. 40 ayat, he's already worried. Ya Imam Malik, 40 ahadith off the cuff, no need to learn it. No notes also. And he repeated it. Now that was that memory that Allah had blessed them. Now is it possible in today's time, thinking of all these things, keeping this in the fore, that a person ever say that these fuqaha hum rijal, they were men, possible they erred? How is that possible when their memories were such a strong nature, such strong memories Allah blessed them with? So how can we ever equate ourselves anyway close to them? Forget about equate. Coming anyway close to these a'imma and fuqaha. So they had foresight. Anyway, we discussed so many incidents of in the life of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, that farasat, that foresight he had. Now this is silsilatu dhahab. Nafi' narrates from his ustad, Imam Malik narrates from his ustad Nafi', who narrates from his ustad Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, who in turn narrates from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these three narrators, silsilatu dhahab, meaning any muhaddith will accept it without even doubting it for an atom's bit. He'll accept it. Now why was it? Our asadis explain and say, if you go into it, there is one thing. Ibn Umar loved the sunnah. His student Nafi' loved the sunnah. Imam Malik rahmatul Ali loved the sunnah. All were lovers of the sunnah. That's the first quality in all of them. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, one day he's traveling from Medina Munawwara to Makkah Mukarramah. He comes to a place, he bends down and he carries on walking. People say, what's happening? There's nothing here. Yeah? Maybe wearing 3D glasses or something. Why you bend down? So he says, no, hold on. When we were traveling with Nabi Sam, there was a branch that was going over the road. So we used to bend down, duck, dodge the tree and continue. The tree may not be here, but the sunnah of my Habib Sam is in my brains and I have to do that. So that was the love that they had. Imam Malik Rahmatul Ali, the love he had for the ahadith. If someone only told him, Imam Malik, ya Imam, narrate to us one hadith. If he was walking, he'll sit down wherever he is. Wherever, on the road, wherever in the park, he'll sit down. As he sits, he will get himself into the tashahud position. Tashahud position. He'll sit like this. And then he will tell the person, gee, you wanted to know one hadith? And then he'll narrate, حدثني نافع قال حدثني ابن عمر. He'll give the chain of narrators with humility, lower his tone, and he'll narrate the hadith. He's asked the person, is that what you required? He says, gee, that's all. He'll stand up and he'll walk. He says, but what you said? He said, out of respect for the words of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi never left Madina Munawwara. He never left Medina Munawwara. The question comes, how did he gain all his knowledge? He said, everyone has to come to Medina Munawwara. This is the place where you need to come to draw. The fountain is here. They all come to draw. So every ustad who comes, I learn from him. So he says, out of respect for Medina Munawwara, I'll never ever leave Medina Munawwara. Out of respect and love for Medina Munawwara. He never left Medina Munawwara. Imam Malik Rahmatul Ali, he had animals, conveyances for him if he went for Hajj. If he went for Hajj or Umrah. But he'll always hold the reins of the animal from Medina Munawwara till the border and then mount it at the border of Medina Munawwara, at the outskirts. So someone said, oh, Imam Malik, why do you do this? So he says, how do I gain the audacity and the courage for my feet, for the feet of my animal, and for me to be on top of an animal that's going to be walking over the dust particles that settle at the feet of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Out of respect, I don't even walk, or rather mount my animal in Medina Munawwara. So each person, what is required is that level of love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam Malik rahmatul Ali, that was one of the reasons that this is called silsilatul dhahab. There are other reasons also, but this is more like a Sufi explanation to it, where each one of them had the love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Malik rahmatul Ali, see all the fuqaha, the sources, how do you derive, reach at a conclusion or a ruling or a verdict, is if any mas'ala question comes, the first thing is you will have to research Quran. If it comes in Quran, then that's the ruling. If it's not in Quran, you study the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the ruling. And if the answer is not in Quran or hadith, after that the jurists had difference of opinion. But Imam Malik rahmatul Ali used to say that for me a very strong source of any action or verdict or a ruling is amalu ahlil Madina, the practice of the people of Madina Munawwara. He says, whatever I see the people doing, that's the ruling. I don't need to have the hadith in front of me. I don't need to have anyone saying in front of me. The people are doing it. And these people who he's talking about are who? Tabi'in, Sahaba. I saw Sahaba and Tabi'in doing it. It is accepted. That is my ruling. That is my verdict. That is the fatwa. Why? Because in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were recorded in various ways. One was the memory. People rendered things to memory. They bahated Quran, they bahated ahadith, number one. And if they were unable to by heart it or memorize it very quickly, what would they do is write it down. They would write down whatever Nabi Sam was reciting or reading or explaining or narrating ahadith, they would write it down. So that was one way of recording ahadith and Quran. And one way of recording the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was practice on it. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? Must make miswak before every wudu. Don't worry about the wording. Start making miswak before every wudu. So someone asks you, what are you doing? I'm doing a sunnah. But what you mean you're doing a sunnah? What's the wording? He said, I don't know the wording. He told me and I started. So that is, I have recorded one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Simple. Whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sometimes whatever it was a lengthy ahadith, it's a short hadith. They practiced and that was the proof that it was a saying of Nabi Sallam. Just the practice. So that's why Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Amalu Ahlil Madina. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali, that love we're talking about that he had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that a sunnah, Safinatu Nuh, he says the sunnah is the Ark of Nuh Alayhi Salam. In present time, it fits for us so well. That the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam, that's the sunnah is the Ark. Whoever boards the sunnah is saved, is taken to safety. He will be delivered. But that person who abandons, who forsakes the sunnah, will drown in this earthly life. We find simplicity in the sunnah. We find solutions in the sunnah. Everything is coming back to what? To the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything comes back. Talking about that, just the other day, our Harubai, we were together, all of us. So he came with one sunglasses. So he's looking at us and he's laughing. So we ask him, why are you laughing? Maybe you want us to ask you something. He said, do you know how old this Ray-Bans of mine is? So we don't know, tell us. He said, when I was young, this is from the 80s, he said. In the 80s, when I went for Umrah, my father went for Umrah, he bought for me one Ray-Bans. You know, those days, Ray-Bans. He bought that Ray-Ban, a certain shape it was. You know, whatever was that lens, he brought that. And it was the sunglasses of those days. He said, few years later, I put it away in my cupboard. Outdated. He said, recently, when I went to buy he went to buy another sunglasses, he saw that frame is back into fashion. He said, take it out. But the sunnah of Nabi Sam is always in fashion. Never gets outdated. Kurta, whatever label you put on it, it's still a kurta. It's never getting outdated. The sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, again, the level of respect he earned was because the respect he gave to the ahadith of Nabi Sam. Now look at this. They were not in awe of any person of this world. Which means they stuck their roots, their guns when it came to the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One day the Khalifa of the time. The Khalifa of the time was traveling. He came to Madina Munawwara. Now Imam Malik Rahmatul Ali has authored the kitab. His kitab's name is known as Mu'atta. Mu'atta Imam Malik. Example, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawud. His kitab also studied in the final year. Mu'atta Imam Malik. Now Imam Malik Rahmatul Ali, why is it called Mu'atta? He did not collate, accept the kitab to be printed, to be read, studied, until and unless 70 scholars of Madina Munawwara Mitashi verified and accepted it. 70 ulama of Medina Munawwara, all said that the ahadith in this kitab are all authentic. He says, right. 70, I've got 70 confirmations or 70 signatures. Now tell the people to distribute. People can learn, etc. So that's why it's called Mu'atta Imam Malik. So when this kitab was ready for publishing, then the Khalifa of the time was passing. So he came to Medina Munawwara. He sent a message. He said, tell Imam Malik he must bring his kitab and come to me. So Imam Malik rahmatullah Ali told that messenger, you go back to your Khalifa and king and tell him, I'm bringing no kitab to no one. He says, what you mean? Innahul Jabbar. You know our Khalifa? He's a tyrant. He rules with an iron fist. If you say no, it's going to be problems. He's going to come and he's really going to take you to task. So Imam Malik rahmatullah Ali says, idhan, if you want to scare me with his anger and with his force, idhan udhillu nafsi la udhillu ilmi. I rather disgrace myself and not disgrace my kitab. Leave the kitab at home, I'll walk to him. And he goes to the Khalifa and the leader of the time, the king. And he tells him, listen, before you speak to me, حدثني نافع قال حدثني ابن عمر أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, he narrated the hadith. The Nabi said, العلم يؤتى ولا يأتي. You must go to the knowledge. Knowledge mustn't come to you. You must go to learn. It can't come to you. Where will you gain your knowledge? When you make an effort. You have to leave your surroundings, your environment. You have to be, if you want knowledge, you have to sacrifice. You have to be example. We're studying, you know, one branch of knowledge. So we all are here in our, not in our homely setting. We're in the masjid, we're learning. So here we can say, inshallah, we're learning. But if the receiver is at home and you're sitting at home, and if you're a man and you're supposed to be in the masjid, the lady is no problem. We're not sending the ladies to come. We're saying for a man, if you're at home, are you really listening to the program? Not really. Because the kettle is one side, the coffee is brewing, and you know, don't forget about toasting my one and this and that, and the children asking you one question. So you're not totally focused, is it? So Nabi says, Al-ilmu yu'ta la ya'ti. Ilm doesn't come to you, you go to it. You have to go to seek your knowledge. From here, our asatiza used to say, if you need anything, you don't tell Mawlana, I want special tuition for my son, come to the house and I'll pay you. No. I'll pay you for it, special tuition. He needs to be in a madrasa with everyone and study with them. That's where he needs to be. He'll get his knowledge there. That is why many of the ulama, if you ask them for special, separate, all alone tuition, they say no. Meaning, they may give it to you free of charge in the madrasa, free of charge in the masjid, no problem. But they won't come to your house and do it for you, for your children, no. That is disgrace of the knowledge. You have to go to Mawlana's house. You go to the masjid. You go to the madrasa. So that's important, that we be able to sacrifice our environments for the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the knowledge that we require. There's two incidents, and inshallah we'll call it a night, inshallah. Imam Malik rahmatul Ali, when he used to enter his house, he used to recite one dua. Masha Allah la quwwata illa billah. Masha Allah la quwwata illa billah. So someone asked Imam Malik, why do you recite this? He says, haven't you recited the Quran? وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about an incident in Surah Al-Kahf. Why is it not when you enter your garden, you say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Which means the moment you say this, you attributing your, now what is meant, your garden, meaning your house. That is referred to in this ayat. Jannataka can even refer to your house or your factory. Enter and say, Masha Allah. Immediately, Masha Allah. Masha, whatever happened, Allah desired, it happened. It's not my doing. And immediately you're protecting it from an evil gaze. Sometimes you don't realize your own nazar is affecting your own business. Your own nazar is affecting your own child. Person goes to Mawlana, Mawlana, child not sleeping. I think so, maybe they got their colic. Mawlana says no, nazar. So what nazar? Mawlana says sweet nazar. Call it sweet nazar. Mawlana, what do you mean sweet nazar? See, that's the parents' nazar. No evil in it. The child, the parent with the good eyes looking at the child, and he's all in, you know, he just can't believe it. Look at this child, mashallah, he's so beautiful, he's so nice. And you just look, ah, my angel, my dhikro, whatever you want to say. But you're not realizing what's happening. I'm not saying you can't say that to your child. But be careful, don't be over the limit. But if you want, recite all the time, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah, mashallah, la quwwata, to protect the child, your house, your car, whatever, from that evil gaze, even of your own. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, one day one person came to him. He told Imam Malik, I need to ask you one question, a few questions. I've got a list of it, few questions. Imam Malik says, no problem. When I've got some time, I'll sit with you. So he sat with him. So he told Imam Malik, question number one. Imam Malik says, Ji, Sal, what's your question? He asked the question. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi gave him the answer. So Imam Malik says, second question. So he says, La uhsinu. La uhsin. I don't know. I'm not sure. Second question. I don't know. And it continued like this, which means Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, he gave answers to what he knew, and what he didn't know, he told him, La uhsin. Yet he was the Mufti of Madina Munawara, Imam Udar al-Hijra. He authored the kitab Mu'atta Imam Malik. But he says, I'm not too sure. I have to check up. I have to verify. That's all. He left it at that. This person, when he answered all his, when he completed his page of questions, he tells Imam Malik, hey, hold on. Before you tell me La uhsin, maybe you want to change your mind. Listen, I have traveled Masirat Sitti Ashhur, those days obviously. I have traveled 6 months to come and ask you these questions. The people of my village sent me with all these questions. How do I go back and tell them I met Imam Malik of Madina Munawara and he's saying he doesn't know? He told him, listen, you travel 6 months back and go home and you go tell them that Imam Malik of Madina Munawara rahmatullah alayhi said he doesn't know the answer. Finish. What's wrong? Because if I don't know, I can't lie to you. I have to say, I don't know. I will research. I will get back to you. You don't have to know everything. That is why in Arabic they say, La adri nisful ilm. Just to say you don't know, I'm not too sure, is half of knowledge. Just to say you don't know. But today if you all are sitting on the table and someone is discussing, hey, you know what? I'm here muqeem now and I was traveling. And then I returned, but I never come into Sherwood. I was coming back home. And I went via Sherwood and I went to Gateway to quickly do some shopping. I'm muqeem a musafir. Wait, hold on, you know what? Yeah, I remember Mufti Sahib one day he was saying something like this. I'm not, but I think so it's this. But I read one fatwa on the internet. Maybe this one will apply. Hey, let me just quickly Google it. Mm-mm. You don't know something? La adri. If such a great alim could say la adri, we don't need to know everything of the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and grant each one of us the tawfiq and the love that Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده.